Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I hope you are enjoying these hot summer days. You think it's spring, right? Something's going on out there, I'll tell ya. Man, we're breaking all kinds of records weather-wise with this heat. People have been asking me, Farley, is this some kind of astrological thing? Well, you know, they don't call it a fire sign for nothing, and having the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and the Moon all in Aries lately has added to this. I do expect it to cool off a little bit for the weekend, so we'll see if the Taurus and then the Gemini Moon can do that. But having all these Aries and Capricorn transits with a void course moon can be a little unsettling. Okay, we have a metaphysical, astrological, metaphysical topic for you today, the illusion of separation. We're going to talk about today what happens prior to birth, what the soul goes through, the transformation qualification of final entry into this realm from other realms, and how we are reduced from a oneness with God entity to a little baby under the illusion of being separate and alone and apart from the whole. So, another good topic for you to record and to get involved with, especially if you are interested in astrology. Goodbye, Michael. Thanks to Michael McDonald and Erasure for providing the music to the Astrology Hour, and also thanks to Warner Brothers Records for permission to use Erasure's music, and I'm working on some new music by Erasure, so we may have some other stuff coming in. Well, folks, when I first, way before I ever got into astrology, I used to do automatic writing in the middle of the night. Actually, I called it automatic typing, because I would sit at my type recorder, Well, that's a good idea for a new invention. I think I'll invent a type recorder. But anyway, you type something and it records. But I actually did something, I channeled something that discussed what I went through right prior to birth. It was like a laser beam type effect. I would call it thousands of times faster than any laser beam, maybe thousands of times faster than the speed of light. What occurs at birth is so quick and so sudden and so magical and so phenomenal that it is typically a miracle. I actually consider being born like jumping into a suit or jumping into somebody's body or just, I don't know, it's like feet first into a pool or something like that. But in my analysis of the miracle of birth and the miracle of transmuting the dimensions and incarnating in this earthly plane, we do go through an incredible rebirth. Not only are we born as a baby, but our soul goes through literally a deafening or a silencing or a closure type experience where we literally are sort of struck dumb. Now, when we take a look at this universe, of course, if you try to consider infinity in the third dimension, after a while it'll start to boggle you because you'll start to sit there and go, wait a minute, this stuff goes on and on and on and on. It kind of sort of makes your brain feel like it's in a mix master after a while, but just suffice it to say that the third dimension, this realm, does not go on forever and ever. It does change. There are warps out there. There are dimensions beyond this dimension. If we were to try to locate Earth in the solar system, I'd have to say that we are pretty much at the center of the third dimension. As far as if you wanted to find the center of this realm, I'd say we're pretty close to that center. But what happens when babies are made, and strictly when a woman and a man or whatever, when a situation occurs, when the incident of conception occurs, and the process of bringing another being into this dimension begins, which is what birth is all about, then something very unusual happens on the other side. It's almost like, symbolically, you can take a look at souls and think that they were fishing, like they were taking these huge lines with hooks on it and throwing them out there into this realm, into this ether, and trying to hook a particular couple that would have intercourse close to ovulation. And if they were fishing at the time they were qualified to fish, which means that they're hunting or searching or qualifying to incarnate at a particular astrological time, a particular astrological vibration, to earn the vehicle they need and to absorb the energy that would help them promote and absolve the karma that they must. So I kind of picture myself a few months out there fishing for my parents to conceive this baby, right? And literally, when the baby is conceived, the moment of conception, the moment the miracle of life begins, believe it or not, the soul of the baby and the baby begin their communion. Now, I really do believe that the egg is separate from the soul until conception begins. The second conception begins, then the spark is lit and the fuse is burning. Now, this doesn't mean that the egg has any senses or any feelings yet, but it does mean that there's a relationship between the soul, which exists beyond this realm, and that fine cord, that long silvery cord that connects it to the baby at conception. Now, while the baby is growing, there's energy that is fed to this baby, not only from the mother, but it is fed to the baby from the soul of the child, now that the communion is formed, from beyond this realm. And I don't want you all to get upset about this topic today, because I'm not going to even discuss abortion or miscarriages or any of that, but just suffice it to say that I believe that if abortion or miscarriage does occur, it was meant to be, and for whatever reason, it's a cancellation of the ticket to get to Earth. Okay, so I don't want anyone to feel guilty or bad about abortion or miscarriages, because I prefer to live my life happy in bliss with no regrets, no remorse, and no guilt. So forget bringing that stuff up. But anyway, suffice it to say that the soul exists in this realm where the oneness it feels with God and the universe is a lot easier sustained and recognized and accepted. So even though it is experimenting and attempting to incarnate and transit itself from beyond this realm, the third dimension, which is the illusion of separation dimension, this is the dimension of separation, to higher realms, which I might actually identify as the fourth or fifth dimensions, even the sixth dimension, where the soul resides, the soul is truly and specifically aware of its bonding that it has with the universe. Now, isn't it interesting that as the baby grows, I do feel that different levels, different dimensions of the soul enter the child depending on how developed the child is. In other words, the astral body may not enter the baby until the birth itself, because I haven't heard any stories about babies opening their eyes or breathing in the womb yet. But still, I do believe that the more the baby grows, then the stronger the anchor it has with the soul. So after 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months, when it becomes a full-grown baby in the womb, it is fully anchored to that soul, and the communion is set. Now notice the symbolism. The baby is still one with the mother. Its last step off before it becomes separate, the soul, because it must be eased into this dimension to avoid drastic soul shock, we would call it, goes through this 9-month incubation period in the womb. So the sensation of this body that's about to become separate from the womb and the mother at least has this oneness during the entire incubation period. Meanwhile, the soul, which is anchored to that body of the baby, is still in the other realm of oneness. Now, when the baby is born and it comes out of the womb, the soul does not begin the transition from beyond this realm to the child. In other words, the final signature and the final imprint of the soul, which is specifically the astral body, which is a very, very significant part of the soul, because the astral body, I truly feel, and I have identified, when that is in the baby, it gives us consciousness, it ignites the left brain to give us conscious mind and intellect. The astral body is also the part of us that is transmitter and window to the intuitive mind and the higher self, which is always anchored in that other realm, the oneness realm. And also, when that astral body does come in and make its final imprint, it animates and charges the baby, giving it life and allowing it to breathe and allowing it to regulate its digestive tract, its heartbeat. And therefore, it is that moment of birth which is significant as far as astrological imprint. Now, astrological imprint is really what this topic is all about. Astrological imprint. Because, see, when the baby's out of the womb, and when somehow it does get revived and the eyes open and it starts breathing, that breathing is actually pulling the astral body from the higher realm at thousands of times the speed of light, even unimaginable speeds, from beyond this dimension, from beyond the third dimension, from beyond visible space, this body courses through the dimension. Literally, each astral body, each soul, becomes one with the entire dimension prior to birth. Now, we actually retain this oneness during life, but because of the illusion of separation from baby on, a lot of us are not really in touch with this oneness that we truly are. But just suffice it to say that it's almost like a balloon deflating. If you had a really huge balloon that was as big as the universe and somebody suddenly let the air out of it, then it would shrink really fast. So you have to imagine this soul becoming this dimension and shrinking down. Now, from our point of view, the visible universe really does not move from our point of view. So that really is a symbolism of the oneness, the visible universe. What does move from our point of view is the liquidity and the fluidity and the valve-like piston action of this dimension, meaning the solar system. From our immediate neighborhood, the Sun, the Moon, Earth, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto have a relationship with each other because they exist in a stellar system, the Sol system, our star, and they boomerang around this system for billions of years. And because from our point of view, from the Earth point of view, these are the moving bodies, the visible bodies, it is almost like we live in an energy of ocean that is constantly changing, a cosmic ocean that is constantly changing. Now, I want you to know that as the soul deflates and becomes the baby from beyond this realm, the final imprint that it catches, the astrological imprint, is that it literally becomes this energy system. I want to make this clear. As the soul approaches Earth, the astral soul approaches Earth to make the imprint on the baby, it literally picks up the vibration of Pluto and Neptune, the farthest out planets, and also Uranus and Saturn, which are generational planets, because these planets don't move much, but in years, millions of babies are born with the same Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto effect. Notice the oneness, right? The farther out the planet, the more babies that are born, the more hundreds of millions of babies are born with the same Pluto in a 10 to 12 year period, or the same Neptune in a 10 to 12 year period. So oneness is still identified in huge generations of people. The closer we get to Earth, the faster the planets are moving closer to the Earth and closer to the Sun and then finally the Moon. See, so what we're dealing with here is that as we approach the Earth and as we approach this astrological imprint on the baby, we are picking up planetary influences in our aura, in our soul, that will be charging the baby's cells, actually imprinting this astrological imprint, this cell, cosmic cell circuit, in each and every one of the cells of the baby, especially the brain cells, which would give that baby a Plutonic, a Neptunian, a Uranian, a Saturnian generation effect, and also Jupiterian, because Jupiter is a one-year planet per sign. That is also a generational planet. But when we start looking at Mars and Venus and Mercury and the Sun, we're starting to get closer to not as one. Because babies being born with the same Mars, there's only a two-month window where you can catch Mars in the same sign, and maybe a one-month window when you can catch Mercury or Venus in the same sign, same with the Sun. To catch the lunar effect, the emotional imprint is made on the baby from where the Moon is, because the Moon changes signs every 2.5 days, so we're really getting individual now. See, first of all, babies born in the 10 to 12 year periods have the same Plutos and Neptunes, and people born in a 7 year period have the same Uranuses, in a 2.5 year period have the same Saturns, and in a 1 year period have the same Jupiter. Then babies born in a 2 month period have the same Mars, in a 1 month period approximately have the same Mercury, sometimes Venus and Sun. Then in a 2.5 day period, all those babies born will have those same exact charts as the other babies, but their moons will be the same. Now we really get finicky as the astral body enters this solar system from the eastern horizon on Earth, depending on what city it enters the baby, right? That final imprint, the eastern horizon, is called the rising sign or the ascendant. And the astral soul enters the baby, enters the Earth realm from the eastern horizon, which gives the baby its final imprint of uniqueness, because that rising sign, that ascendant energy, which sucks up all the planets frozen at birth and delivers them to the cells of the child as its astrological imprint, its cell circuit. This energy is finalized by the awesome uniqueness of the 360 degrees on the whole circle of the zodiac of all 12 signs we study in astrology. Every 4 minutes, 1 degree changes on the horizon. And obviously every second we have movement because the earth is spinning very rapidly. But I'm saying that every 4 minutes in any particular city, when babies are being born, they are being born with a different rising sign. On one day, all the babies being born may have all the same planets, but they're not going to have the same rising sign. And if the moon changes signs, they're not going to have the same moon. Now, do you get the point? The point of this topic is to show you how we lose our oneness before birth and how astrology as a science, as a human behavioral cosmic metaphysical science, helps our soul design this uniqueness, this separation, this aloneness. No longer one with the universe, we have gone down through the generations of the planets to the rising sign, and finally we are separate, alone, and unique, depending on where the planets were at birth. Is that clear? And you know, it's not an accident that you are born at a particular time, because your soul needs to embrace certain energies. Like, the planets in the chart are important because when that astral soul is fleeting through the universe, through this realm, to get to the baby when it starts its first breath, all this happens when the baby opens its eyes and goes, and the shock of taking its astral soul in and being in this dimension and away from the mother oftentimes can be, or usually it just can be the chills or the shakes or just the trauma of being born. But still, the point is that each planet has a very interesting significance that makes up life as we know it in this dimension, on this planet, for all the creatures that are born on this planet. That's right. Every planet that is in this system has an astrological imprint on any creature. That's right. Even insects can be Virgos with Pisces risings. Our dogs, our birds can be Capricorns with a Scorpio moon. There's a passionate bird, right? But the thing is that it's so important for you to understand the planetary significance at birth. Now, for example, Pluto is a planet that designs transitional factors. This tells us a lot about the intensity of this individual that we're shaping at birth. It also tells us a lot about the deeper emotions, relationship and communion with higher self, if any, and intuitive mind. See, so Pluto is very important. Neptune is a spiritual factor. Neptune serves as a window and also a bridge to higher realms. So Pluto and Neptune, notice, are the farthest out planets, and they serve as the bridge to other dimensions. So they actually let us know a lot about our psychic and spiritual behaviors. Just because Pluto's so small, it's very important. Don't ever count that puppy short. And then Uranus is an awakening factor that controls sudden events that will occur in our life. For good, for bad, for better, or for worse, shocking awakening experience, also friends, goals, and how we will react to friends and directions in life are all designed by where Uranus is at birth, as far as impelling us to certain avenues. See, the planetary locations at birth that the astral soul absorbs prior to entering the baby and charging the body with this astral effect, this astrological effect, where the planets are at that moment literally illuminate critical factors that impel us in certain directions. It's not an accident that you are attracted to certain people and repulsed by others. Believe it or not, you are a magnetic creature, and the astrological location of planets at birth is a design for the magnetism that you have. If we were born in a void with no planets and no stars, then there would be no separation. There would be no oneness. There would be no uniqueness because there would be no engine. There would be no vehicle, no metaphysical magnetism to design this uniqueness. So we would all look the same. If you remember some of these movies, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and some of these other movies about aliens like Cocoon, you'll notice that they all pretty much look the same. They didn't have many features, didn't have hair, because maybe they were born in dimensional systems that were void of planetary influence. Hence, they had stronger oneness. See what I mean? So this stuff is really logical. Let's go on. The Saturn factor is a design that tells us where we must study, where we must learn, where we must grow, what we must experience, and how we will suffer. The Jupiter factor tells us about our philosophy, what we will be impelled to study, to take up, to teach, and also our travel factors. Mars is our battery, our life force, our health factor, our sex drive, and also the type of men we will feel most comfortable with as friends and or lovers. Venus is a factor that designs values for money, for power, for love, for balance, for harmony, negotiation, tenderness, nurturing, and also the type of women we will hang with and be attracted to. Mercury is a planet that designs how we think, how we will communicate, psychological factors, brothers and sisters. The sun is specifically an imprint of our soul. Specifically, the sun tells us how our soul is expressing itself, how it has been qualified to express itself in this life cycle, or what we must master in this lifetime. The moon gives us our emotional imprint, tie with the mother, and also the sun gives us a tie with the father, paternal factors. Moon is the emotional imprint, how we feel, total senses, intuition, and also tie with the mother. And finally, the rising sign is the funnel through which all the planets are focused. It is exactly how our outward shell, the body, is charged. What we see is the effect of the rising at birth. So whatever your rising sign is, it's probably the most important part in your chart. Because the rising sign specifically is an energy that tells us how people will see you, how you will express yourself, your personality, early childhood, early influences, environment, city and town you were born with, peers that you grew up with, and traumas and pleasures during childhood. So the rising effect is obviously the most important in the chart, or that energy in the eastern horizon through which all the other planets are funneled. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like grabbing all the planets and the sun and the moon with a big God hand and then just like rolling the dice, firing it through the eastern horizon from that sign force, from that energy that is coming from the east into the baby. And hence you get the astrological effect, the illusion of separation, the astrological imprint, and the cell circuit. Now this topic was designed for those of you that needed a higher explanation of how the astrological magic works, for those of you that are beginners that know nothing about astrology, and also for those of you that required a review to metaphysically discuss how the soul designs uniqueness and the illusion of separation in this dimension through astrological approach. For those of you that do not have a chart, obviously if your interest and curiosity has not been piqued today, I really feel sorry for you, because today's show is dedicated to really encourage rebirth as far as you plugging into a part of your cosmic self that knows this knowledge about what I discussed today. Funny thing about astrology, interesting thing about astrology, is the more you study it and the more you get into meditation and spiritual sciences and rebirth, then the more you become aware of the realities that exist beyond this realm of your intuitive mind, your multidimensional self, the omniverse, your higher self, and the Akashic information that lies beyond, literally plug into, the more evolved and the more aware you become. So I have always used astrology and metaphysics as a catalyst for my own soul growth, so my astral self can have a communion with my higher self, and so some of this metaphysical information can be substantiated. That's why we try to get people into astrology, to try to trigger this growth and this communion. Wherever you are in Southern California, welcome to sunny, beautiful Redondo Beach. The sea condition is wonderful out here on the beach, and I'm happy. So I know some of you people don't get as strong a signal as you like, but the fact is that people know how to get in touch and find the Astrology Hour. They go to Music Plus and get their directional antennas or Radio Shack, and we have people listening in San Diego, believe it or not. They can find us. People listening in Oxnard and Lake Arrowhead, and just all over Southern California. So thank you for finding us and leaving your radio. Don't moving it so the signal will come in. That was a good topic. The illusion of separation, the astrological imprint,